Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch here on LA Talk Radio, as you always are with me. Fridays, 11 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time, here in beautiful Los Angeles. Welcome, world, wherever you're at listening, because today, what I'm going to be doing is answering your questions. Yeah, all those questions that you guys have asked me. At my Gmail address here to the station, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And I thank you guys for emailing me questions and just kind of reaching out about certain issues going on in your lives, because it really helps me understand, you know, what the flavor is and what the feeling is with so many people. So what I've done is I've selected some questions that I'm going to be answering today, or just giving suggestions that are really the most common that I'm hearing, and also the most common in my practice as well. And they're usually dealing with self-esteem issues, which we'll be talking about, relationship issues, how healthy conflict resolution with your partner, effective communication, in other words. And we may also touch on anger. There's another thing that I want to talk about a little bit too. And it's about changing your point of view about things. And, you know, it's all in keeping with sort of not only helping you function in the world, because, I mean, if we always go to the dark side, no, those people are bad and life sucks and then you die and I hate my boss. And if that's what you're on and thinking about every single day, you know, those neural patterns are hardwired, baby, especially after years of, you know, feeling less than. And we're going to be talking about that as well. So how to kind of change it up for yourself and just thinking a little more positively about things. How do we do that? Well, I'm going to tell you how to do that. If you have a question or comment, you like to call in, that's cool. What I'm doing actually is I'm working off of the emails. And I've informed the folks who've written me that I'll be answering their questions today. But if you want to call, if you want to just jump in, that's cool too. 323-203-0815. That's a Los Angeles area code, by the way. 323-203-0815. And so let's get started with this thing, because what I want to do is first of all talk about something that I'm hearing all the time from women and men as well, all sorts of sexual orientation couples, whatever. But this is really nailing what I'm talking about here, what I hear all the time. So, this question, I'll use fake names in order to protect the innocent. So this one comes from Lindsay, let's just say. Okay. And she says to me, hey doc, my boyfriend of 2 years broke up with me about 4 months ago. I found out that he met another girl and was seeing her while he was still going out with me. I'm having a really hard time getting over this. I can't look at his social media anymore. It really hurts me. I beat myself up for not seeing what was going on because he was pulling away from me and he was acting sort of distant, not texting me as much, and I didn't pick up on it. All right. He wasn't as available to get together for the last couple of months that we were together. So I really started feeling low about myself. He lied to me and said he was just busy and preoccupied. Then he broke up with me. So she says, my self-esteem is really low. All the old thoughts I've always had when I was younger in high school and college before I met him about not being pretty enough, smart enough, or good enough keep coming into my head. So how can I handle these thoughts and sad feelings? So I know, I really get it, Lindsay. I know what happens, you know, when, especially when we've had a history of not feeling good enough about ourselves. And I've talked about this for a really long time as to where we pick up these feelings and thoughts. And it's a no-brainer, guys. You know, it's our early environment and some of the messages that we get from our parents or from our siblings and from our schoolmates. We get teased. Everyone gets teased. Really, everyone. And it's painful. And we have to work through all those years of, you know, whatever it is. I don't know if it's ever going to change. I just think people need to, you know, put down other people to make themselves feel better. But I think that's where it comes from, Lindsay, originally. And then it builds as we have, you know, emotional or social losses as we get older. You know, that big mountain just gets bigger of low self-esteem. Oh, that's right. He dumped me. I'm not good enough. Or my friend told me off and I don't have a friend anymore. And some of my other girlfriends are being catty to me. Or, you know, some of the coworkers, they're like a clique and I feel left out. All that stuff. You know what I'm talking about. So all that stuff leads to our low, you know, self-confidence. And I know this is a loss for you because you said you were together 2 years. Gosh. And sometimes we just don't get a clue. Sometimes it's okay. Don't beat yourself up for not seeing it. Please don't do that because we don't want to see it. So give yourself a break and just say, you know what? I just didn't want to see it. I just shoved it down into denial when he started pulling away or being busy or, oh yeah, well he is. We buy into that. Oh, well, he must be so busy. But the reality is, you know, he was on to someone else, and that's okay because my motto is, ready, Lindsay? You don't want anyone who doesn't want you. How's that? So that's your mantra. Now you can take that one on. And just, you got to start working on yourself, sweetheart. And I know everybody else tells you these things. All of your, you know, family members who were supportive or friends or whatever. You know, he was a jerk and whatever. Okay, I don't care about him. I care about you and how you feel. So what I want you to do is, first of all, stop. Stop it! Stop beating yourself up. It's not that you weren't good enough or you weren't pretty enough or you weren't smart enough or you weren't hot enough or you weren't whatever enough of enough. Interesting or whatever. It's just that person just decided to move on. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who he's with. Doesn't matter what he's doing. All that matters is how you are doing. So you got to, you know, you said you stopped looking at his social media. Good for you. Just make him go away on social media. Don't even do that. That'll drive you crazy. You know, I mean, you know, we stalk somebody who's broken up with us for a long time. Just stop it. All it's doing is perpetuating icky feelings about yourself because most of it's BR anyway and BS. So again, mantra, ready, Lindsay? You don't want anyone who doesn't want you because they're not right for you. You need to attract good people who understand who you are. So what I want you to do is I want you to write down all the great things about you. I don't care what they are, little things that you know about you, whatever you can think of. Here's some ideas. I have a good heart. I'm a really good person who has really locked on to being able to commit. How's that? I'm really smart at my job. Whatever you can think of, I really want you to start putting down on paper, put down in your memo on your phone, write a whatever to yourself on your computer. Just start writing about the good things that you know about you, whatever they are. Okay, whatever they are. I'm a great friend. You know, I can be trusted. All the good things you know you are. Write something down if you can every day. Sometimes we can't think of everything, and sometimes we don't have time to write down everything. You know, when you're kind of chilling out at night, jot down some more good things about yourself. Okay. There is no such thing as perfection. Okay. Even the most confident people have insecurities. At some point in any of our lives, we may feel we lack something. It's reality. Everybody feels it. It's the human condition. It's not a bad thing. Life is full of bumps. Sometimes we screw up. Nobody's perfect. It's not about you that you screwed up unless you were physically or verbally abusive to this guy. He's just doing his thing, and that's okay. You get to have people in your life who appreciate you and want to be with you. So you've got to recognize all the good things about you. Okay? Identify your successes. That's something else. Everybody's good at something. So whatever you have excelled in, whatever it is, I want you to give yourself credit for the things that you have done, whether it's learning something new, whether it's being in some kind of a group if you play music, whether it's going to some kind of a church and being involved in volunteering, or whatever it is, write down some of your successes that you do to contribute to this world or yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the most important things to changing your feeling about yourself in terms of your self-confidence, low self-esteem management, is to be grateful. We're hearing this all the time. Everybody says be grateful. Everybody. Everybody's talking about it. Greg Braden, Dr. Joe Dispenza, Dr. Wayne Dyer, Esther Hicks, everybody says the first thing you have to do is be grateful for what you have. Yeah, but I don't have much. I work really hard, or I don't have a job, and I live in an icky part of town. I can barely live day by. You are alive and conscious, and you woke up this morning. Hello? Take that breath in and go, hey, universe, bring me cool things that I'm ready for now. But you've got to know that if you feel better, you're going to attract what's out there in the universe. Do a little reading on quantum consciousness. It's all out there. It's all happening. It's all real. It's all scientific. Okay? And be who you are. Stick to your principles. All right? If you have, you know, strong beliefs about certain things, be okay about it. Don't beat yourself up. So besides doing this and having a lot of gratitude for you, just the smallest things every day, write down what you're grateful for. Every morning you get up, whatever you do, get your coffee, your tea, whatever, sit out on a patio if you're lucky enough to have a patio, a balcony, get outside and write down all the things you're grateful for. And that's the way to do it. The more we think the positive thoughts, the more they're going to build neural patterns that are positive, and that will become us. Because the more you hang on to the old pain and the old I'm not enough of enough, that's building those negative neural patterns stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. So you can cut the negatives off if you switch a Rooney with the good ones. That's it. And stop worrying. You never know what you're going to bring into your life each day. Every morning, sit on the patio, get outside, have gratitude, and say, I'm ready for good things out there in the universe to come into my life. And I don't care what they are. They could be the smallest things. I don't know. Somebody greets you in the store and is really nice and starts a conversation with you. I don't know. If you're going to, you know, college, somebody on campus is really nice. Somebody's helpful. There's just a stranger out there sometimes that can just spark your day. Thank you for that interaction. You know what? You brought it to you. Do you know why? Because that's what you're reflecting out into the universe. And you thank the universe for all the good things you have, no matter how small you think they are. Gratitude, that's where it's out, baby. That's what it is. And I'm telling you, take good care of yourself, honey, and practice some of these things and you'll feel better. It is like a loss when we, you know, someone breaks up with us. And of course we take it personally. It's normal. I'm not this enough of enough. The person just decided whatever was in his head to move on. Who knows? You don't want to be with someone who doesn't want to be with you. Okay, I've said that three times now. That's your mantra, Lindsay. Thank you so much for emailing me. I appreciate it, and I hope I helped you out. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you're on the couch with me today. I'm helping listeners, you guys out there, with questions you sent me via email. So, excuse me, I'm just getting over this. I've had this nasty cold kind of slash flu thing going on for about 3 weeks, and I feel like a human being today, which is great, but I still have this kind of weird voice, so excuse me for that. All right, so what I'm going to do now is move on. And by the way, if you want to email me comments, questions, cool, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Straighttalkdoc. I'm talking straight. Just telling it like it is. And you and I don't have a therapeutic relationship. We don't. I'm just giving suggestions, ideas. I'm not your therapist, guys. I'm just, that's my disclaimer here. I'm just helping. Some ideas, some thoughts. I just want you to feel better and really, you know, just sort of think of some of the things that I'm telling you. All right. So we're moving on here. You know, this is another really common email that I receive. And this is from another really nice lady. I'm going to call her Susie. I love that name. Susie. She says, I'm 30 years old. I'm really ready to find a special long-term partner. I've been doing online dating for about 6 months now and have met some guys who are okay, but then after several dates they disappoint me. I have also met some really cute guys who seem to like me, then they move on. I guess they get bored with me, or I feel I'm not enough. This is really similar to kind of what Lindsay was saying, but Lindsay was in a 2-year relationship and sort of got dumped. But I didn't mean that in a negative sense. You don't need this guy, Lindsay, okay? But anyway, moving on. Susie says, can you give me some tips about how to look for a long-term partner or how to feel safe enough to enter into a romantic relationship? Safe enough. Feel safe enough. Well, good for you for getting out there. You said you've been doing online dating for about 6 months. That's cool. I have no judgment. There are certain skill sets we have to learn with online dating. I really always prefer meeting people or suggesting that someone meet someone in person in a real live environment, not necessarily a club, not a pub, not a club, because, you know, we're having a few drinks, we're feeling good, and I don't know. It's just, it's more like a pickup scene, and that's okay. That's right. We can meet some nice people in clubs and stuff like that, but I'm talking about environments and places where people sort of have the same thing in common. So I have some people I've been seeing who have joined, like they love hiking, all right? So there's a lot of meetup, co-ed, young adult clubs here in Los Angeles. We do have a lot of amazing trails and mountains all over Los Angeles. And so a couple of the people who are into that, young people who I've been seeing in their 20s who want to meet somebody, they've joined some hiking clubs. They want somebody who's into what they're into, something interesting. Any kind of a you know, cliquish thing. If you're into computer gaming, those are great groups to get into. Also, you can get into anything that you might be interested in. If you're a beach person, you know what they also have out here. But I don't know if that necessarily applies to folks who are, you know, not next to an ocean of any kind. But, you know, they have like these sailing clubs here in Marina del Rey. Yeah, those are so awesome. Or there's lakes all over the country. Anything that has to do with like outdoor sports, clubs, meetups, that kind of thing, they're kind of all over. You got to look for them. Also, volunteering. If you can find co-ed volunteering groups, you can always meet people there. Any kind of religious system that you you know, believe in, or go, if you go to synagogue, church, wherever you go, ashram, wherever you would go for your spiritual nutrition, as I call it, you can meet people. You can volunteer. And that's the wonderful thing about religious organizations, is there's always something to do to volunteer. So you can meet people in those kind of settings. I guess what I'm saying to you, honey, is, Susie, maybe you need to get out and about a little bit more in person to meet people. Online dating's fine. It's great. But what happens is when we start looking for like a long-term partner or kind of enter into a romantic relationship or sort of starting to dip our toe in the water of meeting somebody, we kind of have a set of predetermined, which are often unrealistic expectations. So you know what I'm talking about, Susie, because you said, to quote you, let's see. After several dates, these guys disappoint you because you're just getting to know them. And I don't know what the specifics are. You didn't go into that. But so I'm just saying sometimes we have these unrealistic expectations, like how the person should look. And, you know, it's okay to want someone who's you're attracted to. That's important. I mean, that's really important. But, you know, they don't have to be really hot all the time. I think this is a problem that I see in L.A. It's just, you know, it's the entertainment capital of the world, and everybody has to be hot and put together and sexy. And it's kind of a shallow environment dating in Los Angeles. But anyway, that's my opinion because of the stories I hear. It's tough sometimes. And you get into that whole thing. Talk about low self-esteem. Ugh. You're always competing for somebody who's hotter, or sexier, or smarter, or wealthier. It's really exhausting. So you have to sort of really determine the deal breakers that you would like in a relationship, what feels right to you. So when you're looking for love and you meet somebody, you have to kind of predetermine what feels right. Go with your gut. Okay. Forget what you think should be right and forget what your friends and your parents or other people think is right. We're always asking our friends and, you know, what do you think about this guy? What do you think about what he said this to me or he did this? What do you, got to go within. You got to learn how to go within and trust your gut and see if the relationship feels right to you. Okay. So you got to determine what you want. So you got to include the things you think you'd like in a partner, you know, maybe sort of an occupation that you can respect or vibe with, an intellect that you, so you can connect. You don't have to have genius, you know, somebody you can connect with and talk to. You know, physical attributes are really important. If you're a tall person, you want a taller woman or man to be with, whoever, you know, whatever that's about. If you're really a fitness freak and you don't want somebody who's not, that's an important thing. And I don't mean freak like in a negative sense. I really try to keep fit. But anyway, if you're one of those people that really is trying to, you know, work on your body and stay healthy and all that, and you have somebody who's really not interested, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. So even if like certain traits may appear to be crucially important to you at first, over time, you'll find, and this is what I hear a lot, that you've been needlessly limiting your choices. For example, it may be more important, or at least as important, to find somebody who's, let me just give you some examples, because this is what I hear all the time in my office. All right. Well, this guy just didn't seem as intelligent. You know, I was thinking because he had this job or this particular status that he was going to be more intelligent. Well, is he curious? Is he interesting rather than extremely intelligent? Okay. Does he ask questions? Curious people tend to grow smarter over time. You know what I'm saying? People who are really intelligent sometimes lack curiosity or interest in another person. Think about that. Is somebody sensual rather than sexy? There's a difference. Okay? Think about this one. Is this person more caring? Do they have empathy? You got to pick up a vibe of that. Then beautiful or hot. Is this person caring? Does this person have empathy? You pick up some of these cool traits just talking to somebody. You know what I'm saying? Are they, you know, interesting in terms of not laying out their whole life in front of you rather than being, you know, these are my problems. This is my life. Don't give too much information from the beginning. So important too. is that they have the same sense of humor as you. All right? I see this all the time. I hear people say, he just doesn't get my sense of humor. And I think I'm funny, or I think I have this dry sort of sense of humor. He's very literal. He doesn't get the nuances. And it really frustrates me. I hear this a lot, either from women and men. But I think, you know, it's really important to have somebody who's funny and can be lighten up and who gets you, or you get them. It's also important sometimes to have or meet somebody who has come from a family with similar values to you, right? Rather than someone from a really specific ethnic or social background that's really, really different. Because, you know, as it turns out, a lot of times what happens is if we get with someone who's very, very different with, values or culture or whatever, the family, if we eventually end up, you know, being long-term partners, can reject that other person's beliefs. Or, oh, you should have been with someone who's this religion. Or you should have been with someone in our culture. You know, it can make life really tough. But, hey, viva love, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I want everybody to fall in love with whoever they fall in love with, whatever cultural, religious, orientation, whatever. I want you to be in love. I want you to be happy. But I want you to be with healthy people. And as it turns out, what the family says and does is very powerful to us and really affects us a lot. We have a lot of guilt. We choose a partner that our family's not vibing with, but your needs are more important. Just as long as someone has mutual respect, trust, honesty, support, fairness, a great identity, good communication, and is funny, a little sense of playfulness. Wow, where do we find somebody with all that? Okay, so make your list shorter and be happy with some of those things. All right. So that's just some ideas, Susie. And, you know, just don't be so worried. Just don't be so, you know, out there and, oh my God, I have to find somebody. I'm 30 years old. Chill out. Everybody has their own life journey and time that they need to be ready for a relationship. We all have our own journey. We all have our, you know, I have people who are 40 in my practice who've never been married. They've had some long-term relationships, maybe not that many, but that's okay. It's their journey and they're getting ready for it. It's all right. We have so much pressure from everybody. It's like, oh my God, this person's having a baby or two, or, you know, I'm going to weddings all the time. This is what I hear all the time from my 30-somethings. I'm going to another wedding this weekend. Oh my God, I have to find somebody right away. No, you get to be picky and wait. And you get to find somebody who's right for you. All right. Okay. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen. Thank you so much, Susie, for reaching out. StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com. That's it. StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com. And I'm really answering some of your questions that you guys wrote me. You have been writing me over the last month, and I'm picking some of the most popular questions that I hear in my practice and from folks online so that, you know, I can appeal to more people and help you out. All right. So straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Questions or comments coming up here. Let me pull it up. This is coming from Jake. And Jake just said, good point, Susie. I've been online dating for a while, and I can't find anybody good for me either. Thanks for bringing it up. Guys suffer from this too. Okay, good one. Thanks, Jake. Yeah, I mean, it is not just a girl thing, you know. So we're moving on. Here we go. Yeah, I like this one. This is from Gabby. And she says, hey, Doc, my partner and I have been through couples therapy for several months, but he always makes it out like it's all my fault in our sessions. Eek. I'm guilty of arguing a lot with him and trying to prove myself, but that's when he starts yelling at me. I feel that I have to defend myself. Could you suggest some things that we can do to help us communicate better? Well, I think what's going to happen is in your let's see, you've been in couples therapy for several months. If this is the presenting problem that you gave to your couples therapist, this is what you're going to be working on, hopefully. Or as of today, as I'm telling you this, specifically write down questions like, how can we better communicate? How can we better understand each other? What are some safe things to do when we start yelling at each other? Things like that. So write those down if you haven't already expressed these, you know, concerns. And it's really not going to help if you guys are sitting in couples therapy arguing. One of my kind of, it's not a rule, but it's sort of is in a way, but one of the things that I really define when a couple first comes in, I want to hear what's going on from both of them and what some of the, you know, issues are. But the no-no is continually arguing in front of me. Well, you said this and you did that. I mean, it's helpful because I get a flavor for what's up and the pain that both people are in. There's no judgment here. We all have pain. We all have our own, you know, needs. We all need to express them, but it's how we express them. It's how to have effective communication that needs to be shown. And it's you got to practice this every day. If you and your partner are always arguing and you think he's the bad guy and he thinks you're the bad guy, you got to come to some compromises. Compromise is the way to go. You got to be able to give up some things, and you got to be able to allow the other person their own truth, and you got to stop playing games. It's not a contest. It's serious stuff if you want to stay in a relationship. You can let your little child ego run about and stomp your feet and say, I'm right, but that's not going to help your relationship. You're going to be sitting there by yourself going, I'm right. I know I'm right. By yourself. So here's the thing. Let me just tell you how to sort of, and I'm not taking the place of your couples therapist. Please know that. I'm just going to give you some ideas about effective communication. All right? I'm not your therapist. Just some suggestions as to what helps, you know, when you're arguing. And by the way, the longer you stay together and continue to have the same arguments, again, you know, thoughts, feelings that fire together, wire together in your brain. So the more you argue, the more you're going to argue. The more you hold grudges, the stronger those neural patterns get. You've got to cut them off and start changing your thinking and behavior. That's what it's about. Okay? So it's really conflict, by the way, and argue. It's not, that's not kind of a problem. It's the way it's handled because we all have our own truth, right? Don't you hate that when somebody says that to you? Well, that's your truth. You better believe it's my truth, honey. But, you know, it's how your conflict is handled. You know, however you guys talk to each other, however you think and however you can adjust yourselves, that will bring you together or tear you apart completely. Poor communication skills, disagreements, misunderstandings, that is the source of anger and distance. Or a springboard to a stronger relationship and a happier future. It's your choice, guys. It's up to you. First of all, you got to work on yourself. Number one, work on yourself. I always say to people, I know you're in couples therapy, but have you been in individual therapy, guys? So you can work on what your insecurities are. You can overcome some of your biggest fears. You can work on some of those things. Because what we do is we bring our own stuff into the relationship. If we have low self-esteem, we project that onto our partner and assume that they're doing mean and cruel things. We assume the worst about them because it's the way we feel about ourselves. So you've got to work on yourself. You've got to learn more empathy, more caring, and really define what you want out of the relationship. Okay? So let me just give you some tips about effective communication skills, just some ideas here. The show will be in the archives as soon as I get off the air. So if you miss some of these ideas, you can listen to it again. Download, replay, whatever you want. It'll be here. And you can just keep playing it over and over. It'll help you out a little bit. So when you guys are into an argument, you're talking to each other and you're trying to prove or talk over each other. Yeah, but you do this. Yeah. Okay. First of all, here's the deal. When you're talking with each other, you need to listen carefully and take time to let each one share what they're feeling. Okay. People often think that they're listening, but they're really thinking about what they're going to say next, right? How many times have you guys done that? I've done that. So true effective communication goes both ways. Try really listening to what your partner is saying. Don't interrupt. Yeah, but don't get defensive. Just sit there. Put your arms down to your side and look at them. Listen, hear them. Reflect back what they're saying so they know you've heard. Do you know what that means? Yeah. So somebody says, I don't like it when you walk away from me when I'm talking to you. I feel like you're being an asshole. Okay. Reflecting is saying, so you're getting a feeling that I'm like dismissing you when I'm walking away. So that's what you're, in other words, you're saying I'm listening, so this is what I'm getting from you. Okay. Just listen. Try to see their point of view. You know, when we're fighting, most of us usually want to feel heard and understood. And we talk a lot about our point of view so the other person, you know, can see things our way. But if we do this, if we all are doing this all the time, there's a little focus on the other person's point of view and nobody feels understood. So try really to see the other side and you can better explain yours. And if you don't get it, ask more questions until you do. All right. Other people will be more likely and willing to listen to you if they feel heard. So again, it's that whole thing about kind of listening and reflecting back. When somebody criticizes you, and we're going to talk about that too, is just respond to criticism sometimes. Even if you feel they're wrong and you want to get defensive when somebody criticizes you, it's hard to hear. It's important to listen to the other person's pain. Now, they may be wrong and they're criticizing you and you may not be coming from that place. Because you know that your intentions are good. You're just hurt. But you got to look what's going on and what they're saying and have some empathy for their pain. So don't just point back at them and, you know, you're just insecure. Even if they are, you have to listen and you have to have some empathy. Now, what are some of the tools to have a little empathy and show that you're there for them? When you're criticizing somebody, or when you're being criticized, you got to use I messages. You've heard about this before, guys. It's so, you know, psychology communication 101. So rather than saying things like, you really messed up, begin with statements with I. Make them about yourself and your feelings. Like, I kind of feel frustrated when this happens or when you do this. It's less accusatory. It sparks less defensiveness in your partner. And it helps the other person understand your point of view rather than they feeling attacked. So I'm kind of feeling like frustrated when you do this. Okay. And you can say, I feel, again, like I'm not heard or like you don't care because this is important to me. All right. I messages, not you messages. You do this. You really messed up. You never do that. Just knock that out of your vocabulary. You go with I feel or I think or I don't want to feel yucky this way when you do this, but I keep doing it. So how can we compromise? Which brings me to the next point. When you're arguing, look for compromises. Instead of trying to win an argument, look for solutions that meet everybody's needs. You know, I mean, through compromise, sometimes we can find a solution that gives us both sort of what we want. Sometimes it's 50-50. Sometimes it's, you know, 60-40, 70-30 on our side or their side. But we got to find a resolution that both sides can be comfortable with. All right? That's so huge. It's not your way or the highway. All right? If you're arguing too, don't forget to take some time out. Because sometimes tempers get really heated. Yeek! It's really hard when we're both PO'd and we're arguing at a high level, and the, you know, then it gets ugly. So especially if you're married and you have kids, or if you're not married, you have kids, you have other people living with you, just chill out. Don't show that ugly, weird, angry, dysfunctional anger in front of people. Keep your arguments to yourself. Go upstairs, close the door, and talk nicely, or learn how to communicate in a more effective manner with each other. Because that it bleeds into a lot of the kids' psyches. If you're arguing and screaming in front of them, you know, they're going to be on my couch, you know, in 10 years, saying, God, my parents were so dysfunctional. So if you feel yourself or your partner starting to get too angry, just try to take a time out. It's okay to take a break from the discussion until you both cool off. It's okay to just say, you know what, I'm getting heated and I don't want to say something I regret. So I just need some downtime and I'm going to go take a little walk, or I'm going to go into my part of the house, or I'm going to go into the extra bedroom or whatever. And I'm going to go online and just kind of defocus and try to cool off a little bit. All right. And by the way, while taking a break from the discussion, it's sometimes a good idea to come back to it. But when you both approach it after you've sort of cooled off, you know, you can write down some ways you're going to kind of approach it using the I statements that I just shared with you, not you statements, and trying to find a compromise. And how can we compromise? You know, again, I feel like this when you do that. And let the other person listen carefully. Let the other person say, it's not my intention to hurt you. Because the goal of effective communication skills should be mutual understanding and finding a solution that pleases both of you. It may not be 100%, oh, I'm so happy. But at least you guys are both sort of, okay, well, I'll give you that if you give me this. It's not winning the argument or being right. That doesn't work, you know? Okay. Sometimes after you have an argument, you get some downtime. And then you guys need to physically connect by hugging and saying, we had a good talk. You know, sometimes hugging's good. Okay. And really keep in mind that it's important to keep respectful of the other person, even if you're really PO'd at them and you don't like them right now. You know, I've seen partners in therapy, you know, this one partner will say, I don't like you right now. That's okay. But it's better to say, I don't like what you're saying right now, because to me, it represents that you don't care. Okay, that's easier to say, I don't like what you're saying. I don't like the way that you're saying it, not I don't like you. Okay, be really careful about what you guys say, because if you don't have a, you know, filter on your anger and you're going to blurt out some things, ooh. That stuff goes deep. A lot of times we women don't forget those things. You know what I'm talking about, guys. Guys don't either. I don't mean to be sexist. But anyway, so those are just some ideas. And, you know, thank you so much for reaching out about venting your anger and some of your issues that you've been having, Gabby, with your partner, and bring up some of those ideas in couples therapy with your therapist. How can we communicate, you know, in a healthier way? Because it's really important to do that. You know, choose your battles. Just chill out. If you guys want to stay together, you got to learn these things. You know, if you have another agenda, or your partner's thinking, I'm done, but I'm just going to go to couples therapy to appease her or him, then, you know, that's not going to work either. Their minds are made up, but we have to establish this information in couples therapy. What do you really want? What do you really want? Okay. So this is Dr. Michelle, and you're on the couch. And I thank you guys so much for emailing me a lot of your questions that you have. And like I said earlier, I've been picking a lot of questions that are really apply to a lot of people. Some of the most common issues that come up in my practice and also online here. So I've tried to really condense some of these issues that we can all really identify with, that, you know, embrace our self-esteem, how we relate to other people, right? Feeling good about ourselves, things like that. How do we get rid of self-consciousness? Things like that. Okay. I just wanted to touch on this thing about having a positive outlook, changing our point of view. It's science. Don't even go there with, oh, it's spirituality. You know, when you hear about the law of attraction, or, oh, it's woo. It's real in terms of energies. There are energies. We don't have the senses to really feel them or see them, because that's it. Our brain, visual cortex, aural, you know, we have all the senses here going on, but there are other levels that we can't see or sense, that our doggies and kitties do, and there are other animals that do, because they do see certain infrared. We feel it. We feel warmth, but we don't see it. There are other animal species who do, because that's their survival mechanism. But the bottom line here is that we do pick up energy from other people, not only in physicality through their body language, which I teach, which I'm an expert on, and also, you know, through their communication, but also picking up intuitively what we're feeling about other people, not bringing in our own stuff and assuming and projecting, but really getting in touch with our intuition and trying to stay on top of our positive feelings and not judging and not putting people in categories. Every new person, every situation is new and different. We have to stay as an observer, not a feeler. Oh my God. Oh, that was so hard. I'm just so emotional. Oh, this person meant that. Or nope, be an observer. Wow, that person was really upset. Huh, I wonder why they reached out to me in such an angry way. Wow, that person looks really depressed or sad. I don't want to take that on. Wow, that you got to try to think positively and have a more observational point of view in life. Observe. Don't judge. Don't attach your insecurities and your own negative feelings onto others and what they're doing. There's a really cool kind of poem. I mean, it's a quickie. It's a little phrase that Frederick Langbridge said a long time ago. And he said, he was talking about changing your point of view. And he said, two men look out through the same bars. He's talking about prison. One sees the mud, and one sees the stars. You know what I'm saying? So it's about enjoying your life and changing your point of view, because we're always filled with choices. And we can opt to have a pessimist point of view and live a self-defeated life and think negatively about ourselves. Or just my luck, it's going to turn out bad. Or we can decide to take the optimist point of view. We take a challenging and fulfilling life. Optimism has been linked to positive mood, good morale, academic, athletic, occupational, all kind of successes. People who are more optimistic are more popular because of the energy that they put out, because of how they make others feel. You know, the rates of depression and pessimism have never been higher. You know, it's really tough. So here's how optimists are in action. Researchers that back up all of this stuff, why it's so important to be more optimistic and see the brighter side of life. Optimists expect the best. All right? Optimists live longer. They tend to focus on planning on the problems at hand. They use positive reinterpretation. They change the way that they phrase things. People always respond positively to optimists. Life's better. When the going gets tough, optimists get tougher, and they don't have resistant thinking. So why not be an optimist today? Think positively. Some of the opportunities that come your way kind of come in negative situations. Spin it, baby. Feel better about some of the negativity coming to you. Thank the universe for the experience and the lesson. It's not always a party, baby. It's all about learning in our own journey and what we need to take into, you know, into reality in our own consciousness every day. Hey, guys, thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. I got to go now. Ooh, time flies. Thanks for emailing me. I really appreciate it. StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com. Questions or comments. If you have any more problems or issues you want to talk about, please email me. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks for being on the couch today, and I thank you guys so much for all of your input and emails. Hope I could help you. Take care of yourself first, then you'll be great for others. That's the way it works in the world. Have a good one. Bye-bye now.